Welcome to Exploration 1, Revision Lecture 2. And basically this is where we tidy up some of the problems that we had from last week, and we talk about any questions that we have. Sorry, does anybody have any pending questions on stuff that they'd like to know about before we get started on some of the demo stuff and all sorts of things? Now, one of the workstations has crashed. We don't know why. And we'll be looking at that after lecture, because I've got to go and patch the bundle box out of the rack and patch it back into the main network and then go into the web interface and find out what's going on. So, until further notice, workstation 1 on pod 1 is down. I tried power cycling it and it didn't come back up, so we will see at about 11:30, 12 o'clock my time, and that should be online for you all later on this afternoon. And yes, we have it all backed up, so it's all good. Okay, has anybody got any questions or queries before I get started on stuff here this morning? Anything at all? Okay. Well, I'm not going to tell you guys too much new stuff, because last time I checked, there's labs up to Chapter 5. Has anybody apart from Melanie started on those?
Oh, I need to submit some stuff.
Yeah.
Did I even send in my one stuff? I'm pretty sure I did. Oh, it's unrelated. I think I did.
Anyway. I think you did send in some IT1 stuff. I saw something that came from you.
Yeah, you sent your model
I did. That's right.
Did Marshall want something? Because I tried to hail him, but...
Okie dokies. How's everybody going with the subnetting exercises? I've still got pronavs to read through, and I think I've got Roberts to read through. How's everybody else going with that busy builder subnetting exercise?
Yeah, I've started chapter... I did the sub on chapter 3.
No, I'm talking about the subnet exercises.
I've been busy failing exams.
Okay. No, the ones that are up in the extras folder under Exploration 1 that you all have to complete, they're the ones I'm talking about. Which leads me to another point, is everybody receiving mail from the announce list? Because at the moment I'm under the impression that everybody isn't. Some of you are seeing the things that are going to announce, but it seems that some other things are being missed.
I'm getting an announce, but it's from guts.net. I thought you were changing the list over to something else.
We are, but they stole our backup drive. So I had to come up with an alternative backup strategy before I could cut across to the new server, because if I cut across without a backup, then I'll have you all complaining that www.qcat.org is down, and quite rightfully so. So yeah, somebody came in and nicked our 1 terabyte backup drive week before last. So yeah, we're changing. It just takes a little bit of time.
I'm a bit stuck on the VPNs. I'm okay with creating separate subnets, but figuring out, okay, since they all need to be separate and they need to be able to communicate with each other, should be the next couple of days. I'll figure it out.
Okay, the VPN stuff. All right, I can cover that. The VPN is just to tell you that each of the offices is on its own VPN. We're not asking you how to make that VPN happen. Basically, you just have to assign one IP address for a router. That's about as much involvement with the VPN as you need to have.
Except that each office has to have separate subnets, because you can't duplicate ranges. Otherwise, you won't be able to connect to the other sides.
Technically, you can actually fix that by doing an IP address remapping with IP tables. I'm just telling you for technical correctness. But as a matter of fact, for the exercises, we would like each office on its own class C. And then we would like the offices subnetting each of the class C's into the various size chunks. And then you just need to leave room for the IP address of a rack. Yeah, each office on its class C. So you allocate a class C to each of the office, 192.168.something.whatever, and then you subnet each of the class C's based on the requirements, and you leave room for a router on each of the subnets that you're subnetting, so one IP address has to be allocated to a router, and then the actual jiggery-pokey stuff of the router you don't actually need to concern yourself with unless you want to. If you did, you'd take a trip over to www.openvpn.net and you would look at the community-based OpenVPN solution that is out there, or you could install the OpenVPN package onto a Linux or a Linksys and have a play with it. But we're not marking you on that, so I wouldn't recommend that for the average user. Okay, so any questions on that? So one router per subnet. It is assumed that there will be a primary router on the administration subnet that will be responsible for collating all of the packets and shoveling them over the VPN to the other offices. And you don't have to worry about how that's supposed to happen. It is just going to happen. And you basically just look at your ranges, put in the 25% expansion, figure out how many IP addresses you need per subnet, and then slice the class C up accordingly. You could just do the whole thing by allocating 32 address subnets to everything. That would actually be correct. And you could just put everything on a 32 address subnet and say, builders on a 32, admin on a 32, admin and printers on a 32, and servers and printers on a 32, and admin on a 32, and you would be 100% correct, but I'm looking for a slightly more efficient solution. Okay, now, is there anything that anybody wants me to go through on the remote bundle while I have all of this stuff hooked up and working? Do I need to go through using MUT? Do I need to go through using Ed? Do I need to go through using Joe? Is there anything people want to have a look at? Because this will be the stuff that will be in your labs.
What's MUT? Or Joe, for that matter?
Joe is an editor, Joe's own editor. It is the default editor at the moment on the workstations unless you override it with your visual or editor environment variable. It looks like WordStar, so Control K, D, and all that sort of stuff. But there's a help window on the screen, and it's easy enough to figure out what commands will actually save you out. MUT is a mail client.
Is it like Pine?
When Pine decided it wasn't going to be open source, a whole lot of people came up with a mail client called MUT, which is full screen and basically is better than Pine, in my opinion. It's more flexible and it has lots of powerful, you know, message matching stuff. Then AllPine, or I think they called it Alpine, came out, which was the University of Washington stopped making money out of Pine, so they decided to open source it after all. MUT is sort of more lightweight and faster to scroll through messages and a little bit more screen reader friendly. But it still has the commands on the bottom line and stuff, so, and the menus and stuff, so it's different to Pine, but it's not too dissimilar. There are actually key-by-key instructions in the lab as to what you need to press to make things happen.
That should not be a problem. I started life with Pine.
Yeah, I used to use Pine myself in the early days, but Pine then insisted on talking its own broken dialect of SMTP, and I didn't really want it to do that, so I transitioned across to MUT because it would at least talk interoperate with a system SMTP server. You could get Pine to interoperate with a system SMTP server, but I don't know. There might be in the new Pines, but there never used to be. There never used to be a facility for doing secure SMTP, which seems to be pretty much required these days. Alrighty. So, any bits of those labs people want me to go through? Does anybody want me to go through the? Does anybody want me to go through the MUT stuff? You can type your name into chat, and I promise I won't even look at what your name is if you want me to go through it. Okay, I'll do this quickly, and then we will do a screaming review of Exploration, and then unless anybody has anything else between now and Monday, which they're going to email me, we're not going to have Exploration lectures on the Wednesday morning anymore. So we've got to have material to go through to do that, otherwise I'm reallocating the Tuesday nights to the ITE class. You can still get me on Skype, but there just won't be a lecture slot put aside for.
How do ITE students feel about another lecture time at this slot?
Same difference for me, really.
Fine with me.
This would be a good slot because it's already sort of allocated in the week.
Okay, well, I will let the rest of our other ITE-only students know that we've got this time as well.
Okay, here we go. Look, guys, I'm sorry to be so clandestine about the whole thing, but if I don't have material to lecture, and nobody has any questions, you've all got me on your Skype, and if you haven't by now, then we've got a problem. And you guys can all ring me up and ask me questions. I don't bite, and I'm reasonably nice by now after my second cup of coffee. So I'm quite happy to sit down and help people on an individual basis. And then if we do need to pull a group together to discuss something, we can organise that ad hoc as we need to. But the actual official lecture bits and pieces are pretty much done for the year, unless people need guidance on stuff.
One thing you...
Yeah, I'm transmittable. Hey, am I hearable, guys?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, odd. Carrie has gone into no-hear land.
Is he tapping on the microphone?
No, he was actually trying to talk.
Try that, Grace.
Yep.
Okay. There we go.
Sorry, you were saying something, Brian, and I had to take myself out of push to talk because this thing auto-keys due to the clicks that are getting introduced for whatever reason.
A couple of weeks ago, you talked about doing sort of small group projects with Remote Bundle. Well, I think you were talking about the Remote Bundle. It was during that lecture we were talking about the Remote Bundle. Do we still want to do that? I think that might be kind of a cool idea, little group thing. So I don't know if you gave that any more thought.
Yeah, I did, and I'd love to do it, although at the moment I'm having this really weird problem where the routers won't talk to the switches and the switches won't talk to the workstations. And I'm kind of thinking that I want to resolve that today. And if I can resolve that, then I'd be more than happy to run a little group exercise. I can probably organise that to run for next week. Otherwise, yeah, it'd probably have to be next week, and then the ITE could have it the week after. It's just otherwise, we'd have to plan it for a particular week because the ITE have got six more modules to do, and they're running out of time because people keep talking. So,
could you guys do it on a Friday social?
Yeah, Thursday night your time. Or do we run the ITE on Friday for one of the weeks?
If we're going to run it, we've got to run it on the same day every week because people will just get confused and all of that because...
Well, if they don't turn up, there's a recording. I mean, I think it'd be really valuable to run the the cooperative exercise for the exploration students probably next week. Otherwise, we're not going to get to run it because if you guys have got the lecture slot, we don't get it back.
Well, I mean, I don't want to impose that kind of time constraint. If you think you can get the switches and stuff sorted by then, sure, but I'm game to just sort of organize something via a mailing list or whatever.
Yeah, we could try that. I'll try and get it to run for next week, and I'll notify by Friday whether I can realistically get that to happen, and I will email out the mailing list and let everybody know whether we're doing the practical exercise for next week. If we're not, ITE1 can have that slot. Otherwise, they get the slot the week after. Because I would like to be around for that. But if you guys want to all agree on a time, another time, once the switches and stuff are certified, I can make myself available for that time slot.
I'm pretty much open any time.
How about this? We'll shoot for next week, and if it can't happen, then it can't, and we'll organize something else.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Is it a Panasonic I hear in the background, or am I imagining?
No, it's a 4 handset. Panasonic, because I can never find them. There's like 3 floors and I'm out perpetually losing phones, so a 4 handset Panasonic was a good idea.
Yeah, that's what we've got at home. They're good. 5.8 gigahertz models, the one we've got. They're a nice one. Okie dokie. Let's do a little bit of messing with Mutt so that you guys have seen it. And we will show you how you can send mail to yourself. Now, I must say off the bat that Mutt is not the best application to use with TerraTerm, okay? So if you are not good with your JAWS cursor, you are not going to enjoy this very much. However, that said, if you are good with your JAWS cursor, a route of the JAWS cursor to the PC cursor will usually get you out of trouble. For laptop users, that is caps lock left bracket. And for desktop users, it is JAWS key plus numpad minus. So I'm going to drop into the auto talk mode, and I will log into the bundle, and we shall have a play with Mutt and the spool files and the mail files so that you guys can see what's going on, so that you can send yourselves email for the lab in Chapter 3. Okie dokie, here we go. Let's get ourselves a copy of... Oh, I'll just slow this down a bit. I'm on 65% at the moment. Sorry, guys. Okay, let's go. 55%. There we go, 55%. That should be a little bit better. Have you actually got the exact time off, Ian? Okay. Right. That should be a little bit better. Righty-ho. So, we're going into Terraterm, and remember, you guys are going to the www.qcat.org, but I'm going to 102.168.100.144, and okay, I'm going to go into pod 1, and I'll use workstation 2 because it should still be behaving itself. Okay, quiz question. Can anybody tell me what port is Workstation 2 on? Did anybody catch it?
Port 02?
No, that was a guess.
06?
I think it's 5.
It was. It's 6. It's 6. Here, let's go and have a look.
I didn't catch it. The JAWS is going just a hair fast for me.
Oh. Well, should I wind it down?
Cursor. Enter. CMS Creator. Alt space. Menu. Sys X. Menu bar. Even menu bar. JAWS context menu options. O. Basics. DB. Voice adjustment. V. Enter. Even menu. 1. Tab. Profile. Delete. Tab. Synthesizer. Language. Tab.
Freedom hadn't made a mess of their voice change dialogues in 11 and 12. It just gets worse and worse.
Ooh,
something strange things are going on here. Okay. /S/S. Okay, so as we can see, 06 is Workstation 2. Okay? Now, the way I got to that was I went into root JAWS to PC, and then I up-cursored with numpad 8 to find the text that was on the screen that had scrolled onto the terminal screen. That's the best way to do it with Terraterm, because your cursor will always be sitting down at the CMS grader prompt, and that will allow you to review stuff that you've already seen. All right, so let's go on to /C6.
Enter. Connected 06 colon WKS2. The disconnect enter colon caret X. Enter. 9.10 WKS2 IS0. WKS2 login colon.
All right. Familiar login prompt. Cavi.
Copy. Enter. Password colon.
Cavi.
Copy. Enter. Last login colon. Web.17.829.03.WST2010.IS0. Linux WKS2.6.31-19-generic-pay-number-56-.
Blah. Okay, we're in.
Enter. Copy of WKS2.
Let's see if we actually have anything in our mail spool, and I did cover this in the... lab a little bit, but if I go ls -l $mail in uppercase, because the mail has to be in uppercase. Okay, can anybody tell me what that means?
You don't have mail. And then your spool file is not even created, so there's nothing there.
Okay, right, yep, that's absolutely correct. Now, if I want to mail myself, I can do that by going mut, cavi. Okay, saying home mail cavi does not exist, do I want to create it? So Y for yes. Okay, that is the to field. Okay, I'm inside of Joe now. So if I type a message that says and I go control, there is a control K H for help, which will bring up a help window.
Control K. Carrot K, carrot K. D, name of file to say left parent, carrot C, word right parent.
And I just went control K D for done, which is the word star command. And it saved it out. Okay, and then I go control K.
X, Y, colon, Z, Q, Y, colon, Z, Q, colon, the T, colon, the C, colon, C, C, S, colon, subject, colon, attached file, D, colon, desk group, colon, L, colon,
now,
colon,
when it says that, I'm back inside of MUT, and the message is sitting there.
C, C, colon, B, C, C, colon, subject, colon, test, reply, dash, the colon, F, C, C, colon, tilde, slash, send, mix, colon, less, no change, define, greater, security, colon, clear, dash, dash, attachments, dash, dash, attachments, dash, I, one, slash, TMP, slash, attach, WKS, 2, dash, 1, 0, 0, 0, dash, 5, 1, 0, 8, dash, 0, left, bracket, text, slash, PL, dash, I, one, slash, TMP, slash, attach, WKS, 2, dash, 1, 0, 0, 0, dash, 5, 1, 0, 8, dash, 0, left, bracket, text, slash, PL, aim, 7 bit, dash, ASCII, 0.1K, right, bracket, aim, 7 bit, dash, ASCII, 0.1K, right, bracket, dash, dash, colon compose left bracket at rocks MSG dash dash colon compose left bracket at rocks MSG size colon 0.1k at colon 1 right bracket dash 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 size colon 0.1k at colon 1 right bracket dash dash dash.
Okay, so as you can see, I've got 0.1k of message, and I'm going to hit Y to send it because I've just mailed myself.
Y, copy of WKS 2 colon tilde dollar.
And it's done. Now if I LS
dash
dash L dollar mail.
Mail, enter, dash RW, dash, 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 1, copy, mail, 614-2010-11-17946, slash, bar, slash, mail, slash, copy, copy, WKS, 2, colon,
we can all see that there's mail in the spool file. So, now that I've actually emailed myself, I can actually read that mail by going back into MUT.
MUT, enter, reading, slash, bar, slash, mail, slash, copy, Q, colon, quit, D, colon, bell, U, colon, bell, Q, colon, quit, D, colon, bell, U, colon, bell, S, colon, save,
and,
M, colon, R, colon, reply, G, colon, group.
Jaws cursor, route Jaws to PC.
Jaws to PC. Man, 1NF917, the copy, left parent, 1 right parent, test.
Okay, it says 1NF, which means it's new, and it's from me, and it's to caveat trading.local. So if I press enter on that...
I colon, exit, dash, colon, grep, tg, less, space, greater, colon, next, tgv, colon, latish, d, colon, del, r, colon, reply, j, colon, next, colon, del, I colon, exit, dash, colon, grep, tg, less, space, greater, colon, next, tgv, colon, latish, d, colon, del, r, colon, reply, j, colon, next, colon, del, day, colon, web, 17, not 20, 10, 9, 46, 45, plus 0, 8, 0, 0, from colon, c, obvi, less, caveat, wks, 1, dot, training, dot, local, greater, the colon, obvi, less, caveat, wks, 1, dot, training, dot, log, al, greater, subject, colon, test, user, dash, agent, colon, slash, 1.5.20, left, parent, 2009-06, dash, 1, 4, right, parent, this is a test, nf, dash, 1, slash, 1, colon, copy, test, nf, dash, 1, slash, 1, colon, copy, test, dash, dash, left, parent, all right, parent, dash, dash, left, parent, all right, parent.
That looks pretty good to me. Okay, so we have a message in our mail spool. That is one that has been sent from the command line. Obviously, if we're actually doing the one from the command line, we would actually be using. Does anybody remember whether I used Telnet or Netcat in the lab? Because you can use either, but I just can't remember which one I did.
D, del colon 10.6k right bracket dash dash. Q, first one deleted message, left parent, left bracket, yes, right bracket, slash, no, right, y, right in, slash, yellbox, dot, 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 0, kept, 1, diligence, dot, 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 0, kept, 1, deleted, copy of W.
Alrighty. Anybody got any questions on that, or you won't have any questions until you kick the tires on it and it goes sideways?
No, we'll let it go sideways and then ask you.
Sounds like a plan. All right, I can do the SMTP dialogue just while I'm sitting here. So if I NC localhost 25, I use Telnet.
Telnet, localhost. 5. Enter. Try and colon colon 1 dot dot dot. Try and 127.0.0.1 dot dot dot. Connected to local list. Escape character is apostrophe caret right bracket. 220 WKS1 dot training dot local. ESMT people split left parent. Ubuntu right parent.
Okay. HELO. WKS1. Two even.
WKS2. Enter. 250 WKS1 dot training dot local.
Okay. Mail from.
Colon.
Oops. I can't spell.
Enter. 501.5.
No, missed that one.
Mail
from.
Kevin. Enter. 252.1.0. Okay.
RCPT 2 colon Kevin.
Enter 252.1.5 okay.
Test.
Enter 525.5.2 error colon command not recognized.
Oh, I've got to go data first. That was my fault. Now test.
Test enter.
And guff.
Enter.
And a dot on a line by itself.
252.0.0 okay colon Q-D59,154C75.
Now, you get bonus points for ripping out that message ID in that lab. To do that, you go JAWS key, Alt W.
Virtualizing current window. Graphic 460.
Here we go. And we use our cursor keys.
Set up control 0 cap. Try and call, try and
go down here. I'm arrowing down through the screen contents.
Okay, colon, Q,
here it is. Now we use control and the arrows to find the message ID.
Okay, colon, Q, as D59,154C75.
Okay, shift N to grab until the end of the line.
Selected D59,154C75.
Control C to copy.
Copy selection to clipboard.
And escape to bail out of our virtual buffer.
Escape, up control window, resize, help, delete it, tilt.
There you go. That's how you get the message ID off the screen. Has anybody used that virtualized current window stuff before? Because it's not something that a lot of people have had a lot of experience with.
Very useful for error messages.
It's pretty nifty. It used to be insert a JAWS key control W, but then they changed that for some word skimmy thing, and now it's Alt JAWS key W if you're using 11 and higher. So that will get you the message ID, and it has injected it into the spool. If I go quit, it's dropped me out, and I go back into MUT.
Enter. No command found. Did you mean call?
Oops, I can't spell.
Colon, mar, slash, mail, slash, copy, dot, 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 zero, Q, colon, quit, e, colon, del, u, colon, undel, s, colon, save, m, colon, mail, r, colon, reply, t, colon, group, colon, del, q, colon, quit, e, colon, del, u, colon, undel, s, colon, save, m, colon, mail, r, colon, reply, t, colon, group, colon, del,
yeah, and I love it.
O, undisclosed, dash, left, parent, to right, parent, O, undisclosed, dash, left, parent, to right, parent, dash, 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 left, colon, slash, dash, dash, dash.
There it is, and we go enter.
Colon, grab, t, root, dot, Oscar, land, space, dash, nf, dash, 1, slash, 1, colon, copy, of WKS, 1, dot, land.
This is being difficult.
Land.
Why isn't that showing what I've got there?
Go, test, land.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Test and guff. So the message turned up. So that is part of your lab in Chapter 3 as to how to inject them into the mail system. And they should turn up in your inbox in MUT.
Easy cursor. Q, colon, quit, colon, del, colon, undel, s, colon, save, m.
So we'll get rid of that.
D, del, colon, 10.5k.
And Q for quit.
Q, first one, delete message, left, parent, left, y, right, in, slash, r, slash, mid.
And Y for yes. Okay, so now you have no mail in your Cavi account. And I would encourage everybody to clean the messages out of the spool when they're finished, unless you have some bizarre desire to send messages to people who are going to go onto the pod after you. And if you do that, please keep them pretty tame. The mail servers cannot send messages outside the machine they're on. We may make it so that they can send messages between workstations on the same pod, but at this time we're not going to give people access to a full email system because that would be bad. All right, anybody else have anything pending? Otherwise, we'll stop here.
Alt tab, record slash playback, alt tab, chat, alt tab, Ventrilo.
Can you run the bandwidth calculation? I'm suffering from temporary amnesia. Because I still have half that left.
Okay, bandwidth calculation. Yes, I can go through that. I might just redirect things to take the lag out of this. Give me 10 seconds to shut off the... shut off the virtual audio cable stuff, because I don't think we'll be going back to JAWS, so I won't be a moment.
JAWS context menu, options up, JAWS
I have a question. I was looking on the active exams, and I do not see the final exam as an active one.
Now, I've been through this a couple of times. Here we go again. When you need the final exam activated, the final exam can only be active for 8 hours at a time. Okay, the final is special. It's important. It means that you can't just do the final whenever you feel like it, because we need to send you the diagram descriptions for the final, and we do that when you actually make a request and set a time with us to do the final exam. Because if you fail the final twice, you fail the course. Okay? Oh, well, that's useful.
Configuration manager, C. Sound card submenu, O. Enter. Windows
default sound card. Click this
back in. Real tech HD audio output. Windows default sound card.
There we go. I'll finish that when he gets back, I suppose. Okay, guys, we're back. All right, sorry, how much of that did you get, Josh, because you got dropped off the server? Okay, well, for the purposes of the recording, you can only have the final exams active for 8 hours. You need to make an appointment with us for a time to do the final exam, because we generally like to sit on Ventrilo with you in case you run into trouble. And if you fail the final exam twice, you don't pass the course, and we have to do all sorts of modifications to, we have to put a request into database to have your exams reset and stuff. So the final is an important one. So it can only be active for an 8-hour time window. So I would strongly request, if anybody is going to activate, we can reactivate the final as many times as you need to, but please try and be available in that time, 8-hour time window when possible. We do understand that life happens and sometimes it doesn't work out, but we can actually activate that for 8 hours, and then you guys can sit the final. It's probably worth mentioning, though, that even if you sat the final, we need to see a good percentage of your labs before we can pass you on the rest of stuff. So everyone keep that in mind. And if anybody's ready to do the final, by all means, let me know. But until then, I haven't actually activated the final up until yet. I've got to see if there's a practice final. If there's a practice final, I think I can activate that for a week. And if I can do that, I will, and you guys can all have a shot at the practice final and see how they go.
I have a very quick, probably obvious question about binary conversion.
Well, I think Pranav is actually first in with the bandwidth calculation, so let's do that.
Sure.
Okay. Bandwidth calculation. Bandwidth is usually measured... Is this the one where we're finding out how long it takes to send stuff? Am I on the right track here, that one? You've got a 1 meg file, how long does it take?
Yeah, that's the one. And it asks you to calculate something and then something else.
Yeah, well, that's quite possible. Okay, so first of all, what you do is you, if you're trying to figure out how long it is going to take to send a certain size file over a certain speed link, convert everything into the same units. So you have to convert everything into bits. So, say for example, we are doing a 100 megabyte file, and we are going to send it over a 256 kilobit link. We are going to have 100 megabytes. What's going on here?
So that's 8 million bits.
Hang on, I've just got calculator loaded here. So if we have 100 megabytes, we first need to find out what that is in bytes. So it's 100 times 1048576. Which is 104,857,600 bytes. We then need to multiply that by 8, so we go times 8, is 838,608,000. Sorry, 808, I really wish Jaws would put, 808,860,800 bits. Okay, so we've converted our file size into bits. Everybody happy with that part of the process?
Yeah, that's okay.
Alright, now if we're sending on a 256 kilobit per second link, it's 256,000 bits per second. So we divide that big number that I just had by 256,000 bits per second. It's going to take 3,276.8 seconds, So we divide that by sixty to find out how many minutes. So 54.61 whatever. So we want to find out how many seconds that is. So we subtract 54. We've got 0.61, and then we multiply that by 60, which is 36 seconds. So we ended up with 54 minutes and 36 seconds.
Why did you subtract 54?
Okay, if you have 54 point that gives you 54 minute. Your answer comes in the number of seconds. So say for example we have say 3211 seconds. Okay, 3211. Hang on.
Yeah, that's okay.
Hang on. I just needed the calculator. I used to know how to do that. Okay, so if we have 3211 seconds,
just to say it at point. Yeah, yeah.
Mhm. Okay, so say you have a number of seconds. So you've got 3211 seconds. You divide that by 60, and you get a big decimal number. So you've got 53.51666666 all the way up to 7, right? Big long number. So what you do then is you subtract 53 and you write down the number of minutes. So it's 53 minutes. Okay? But then what you've got now is 0.51666666667 seconds, lots of a minute. So to be able to find out how much that is in seconds, you multiply it by 60. So we subtract the 53 off to get the fractional point. Okay?
Okay, I get
we
it.
Now multiply by 60. And we find out that there's 31 seconds. So that's how you convert a number of seconds into minutes seconds. If anybody has a better way of doing it, I'm all ears.
You did your, in your initial step, you did 100 megabits times 1048576, not 1024. So we're using the actual...
I'm assuming that the file was created under Windows, and the 100 megabyte file is really 100 MIBI bytes. In other words, 100 times 2 to the power of 20, which is what a 100 megabyte file under Windows would actually be.
Do the labs make that assumption, though, or do they use the actual like MIBI bytes or the small MB?
The labs would probably tell you the exact file size. So in the lab, you wouldn't actually convert 100 megabytes into bytes. I was just showing how that was done. They would say take the file size in bytes from the properties window and multiply that by 8. But I was just demonstrating how you would convert 100 megabytes, as in Windows megabytes, into bytes, so that you could then convert that into bits. But they would say take the file size and multiply the file size by 8 without any rounding to get it into bits.
Okay, fair enough. I just wondered why you did it that way.
I was just being difficult and trying to show too many things at once. But yeah, that was so if you had a file that was 100 megabytes in size, it would actually be the binary megabytes, not the millions of bytes per second, because that's how Windows measures them. That humming is annoying. Okay, there we go. Drew's simple binary convert question. Off you go.
Yeah, I was just wondering if at the end of it, if you get a conversion that, say, you end up doing, like you're in the middle of a conversion and the result of one of the conversions is, say, 16, and then you do 16 minus 16 and is 0, and then you still have 8 minus 0 is 8, 4 minus 0 is 4, 2 minus 0 is 2. Do those count as zeros or ones?
They count as zeros because you've got to have zeros on the right-hand side of the binary number to make the 16 actually be a 16, otherwise it'd be a 1.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. I just want to make sure.
Any other pending stuff before we close down for the week? We're probably going to... obviously getting those routers and switches and things all to talk to each other is my priority after lecture today, so that you guys can do your other stuff. And I will advise by Friday whether we're running the group practical exercise. I'd really like to run it, But if we can't run it in the official slot, I'll let you all know by Friday, and that way we can organise for the... we can ask whether that's happening next week or not.
Okay, since you asked, let's say you have a bunch of PCs on a switch. The switch connects to a router. Now, if the PCs, let's say, so I have about 4 workstations behind the switch. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now, if workstation 1 has to communicate with workstation 4, it will still go to the router, correct? Before it communicates directly with workstation 4? Because I remember there was this funny question in one of the exams. I don't remember whether I got it right or wrong.
No. If workstation 1 needs to communicate to workstation 4, and workstations 1, 2, 3, and 4 are behind a switch that is connected to a router, workstation 1 will initially send out an ARP who has request for the MAC address of workstation 4. The switch will flood that who has request out. However, the return answer to the ARP reply will actually only go back to workstation 1, so you'll always see all the ARP who has requests go out, but you won't see the replies come back unless you're listening on the segment that the reply comes back on. And then once the ARP things are in the cache, workstation 1 will talk directly to workstation 4 through the switch. The packets will not go to the router.
Okay, so even if I don't have a default gateway, it won't really make a difference.
No, it won't make a difference. In fact, if you don't have a default gateway, the packets will never go to the router.
Okay.
The key thing to remember about a switch is that a switch micro-segments the network. Devices that are connected onto specific ports of the switch can communicate with devices on other ports of the switch. However, a temporary direct connection will be open between the two ports on the switch, and then it will be closed down again after it's needed. So that's basically how a switch works.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, anything else? Going once, going twice. All right, everybody, have a good week. If you got any questions, email me, Skype me, MSN me, direct message me. I'm around, and I will do my best to help you out. Have a good week, everyone.
Bye, guys.